Thank you, Brother Dennis, for that song, for all the songs this morning, for the Holy Ghost anointing this far in the service, and I know he is pleased. The song service has been about the love of God, and that's what our minds and hearts are dwelling on in these days. A few days ago, the Lord gave me a thought, and he put this phrase in my heart, the love of God, the love of God. And then he inquired of me, go check it out. And 12 times, in the New Testament, he mentions those same words, the love of God. So he put on my heart, we need to know more about that, and I certainly do. I've never went down this road before studying just a phrase like that about the love of God, but I'm learning as I'm studying to show myself approved. And then Jesus uses those terms two times. Both times, he is talking to a religious crowd, and he says to them, you pass over judgment and the love of God. Can you imagine the love of God? The word he uses for love is agape. That means the deep settled love, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And the radiation that he has in their lives, the fact that we love him because he first loved us, understanding that love more and more. And he told the religious crowd, the first two times that's used in the New Testament, that you pass over it. And then he says, I know you, you have not the love of God in your heart. Isn't that something? So that started me wondering and praying. And then two times in Romans, he mentions the love of God. And then two times in 2 Corinthians, one time in 2 Thessalonians. And then the book of 1 John, five times in the book of 1 John, he mentions that. And then one time in the book of Jude. Last week, so if a thought comes to me that he tells a religious crowd, you have not the love of God, then I think we need to have a verification of that love. As we found last week in the fourth chapter of the book of 1 John. We looked at the verification of the love of God. We looked at the manifestation of that love. We looked at the manner of love, and we looked at the message of love. And since we learned that, and if you're here and you didn't hear that message, not it's not my message, it's his message, and his message to me, to you, then we're going to look at the thought this morning, basking in that love. Something you find that's good about, you just bask in it. Basking means you enjoy, you just meditate on it, you're thankful for it, you worship to the fact that we found out that we have a manifestation of the love of God if, and these different things we looked at about the message and the matter, and he dealt with this very strongly, and so if you were saved, you surely got the reply back from heaven and the word of God that the love of God dwells in you. Now, if it dwells in you, then we need to learn how to bask in it. We'll do that this morning by looking at those four phrases in Romans chapter 4, and we'll look at that phrase this morning, and we'll try to get through some more. Romans 4, chapter 24. First of all, I want to look at, as we're looking and basking in the love of God, I want the process, his process, of how we obtain the love of God. Now, if he wants us to have a love of God, obviously he did. He sent his son from heaven to earth to suffer and bleed and die for our sins because we didn't know the way to heaven, nor could we get there. So he died for our sins, and in these verses, I've never seen it before, he shows us the process of how we obtain the love of God. We say we know the process. I do too, because the conviction comes on your heart and he shows you you're lost, and then you listen to that voice and he shows you how to pray and look to him in salvation. Be 5 or you might be 15 or 50. I was 12, and I look around and my wife was 12 when she got saved. Darren was just like in 2 weeks when he got saved. Michael got saved at 12. On and on and on. That seems like to be the number for us. And interesting for me, 12 times he mentions the love of God. That was my family, of course. You might be here and you're saved at 10. But whenever you got saved, that account, we sing the song, the old account was settled long ago. Well, we have an account. And that account was we were lost and undone. But God wanted to enter into us and open up that account. So this scripture tells us how to do that. First of all, he says that he poured into this account. He imputed, he gave, he inserted in their life salvation. And then that salvation was free. And it was pointed to the fact that the love of God was going to be deposited in that account. He said, why? When he opens up the account in your life and your heart, what does he put in? The love of God. Or he puts salvation. Salvation is eternal. It's forever settled. It's kept by the power of God, Peter tells us. That account will get us to heaven. But there's more than that, just not going to heaven. You may live 10 years, or you may live 50, or you may live 80 years upon this earth, even after you're saved. But during that account, during that lifetime, we want to learn more and more and worship more and more, because we see that he poured into that account. Well, what was the account for? First of all, the Bible says he paid for our offenses. You and I couldn't pay for them. There was a debt that we owed. And the Bible says the old account was settled long ago. Why? It was settled on the cross. And all we had to do is what the scripture says. The process was complete when Christ Jesus was raised from the dead. Justification. Read it again in the 25th verse. Who was delivered for our offenses. He paid the price. He poured into our heart when we believed in him. What did you have to do? You just believed in him, and you that you were a sinner. And then you ask him to save you, and you believe that he was the Son of God. And then he went to the cross and bled and died for our sins and paid the sin debt and took the blood to heaven. And when he was raised, the Bible says, our justification, the old account was complete. And all you and I have to do, all you and I have to do now is bask in it. Just enjoy it. We're talking about the process of attaining the love of God. Well, there's more to that. Let's look at the access into the love of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Because he tells us now in this process about that thing that's been deposited in their account. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, we just learned previously about the account being paid for. Because he was raised from the dead, and he taught that's our justification. But now in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, he was raised, he paid the price, and all we have to do is believe it. You say, wait a minute, I don't have enough faith. I've dealt with many people in my ministry that said those same words. I do not have the faith to believe. I believe in my head, but it can't get to my heart. Well, the Bible helps us on that matter, too. There's nothing but what the Bible helps us on. And remember, Paul told us that the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. So he recognizes our faith would be weak, and he imputes to us that righteousness. He pours into our heart the love of God. But see, the physical man has a hard time. It seems I've talked to people on the streets before in Hendersonville that moved here from a different area. And I'd make the statement as we were departing, just a friendly conversation, God loves you and have a great day in the Lord. And they stop it. What does that mean? You know, we talked 2 hours on the subject. And I tell them all the plan of salvation, they won't hear it. And they walk off most of the time and say, that seems too simple. That all I have to do is get to heaven, is recognize I'm a sinner, and believe, I can't do that. It's too simple. A lot of people have that problem. And Jesus recognized that, and he said that Paul told us that I live by the faith of the Son. We don't have to live on our faith. He imparts to us of his faith. And his faith has never failed. It's never failed him. It did not fail him while he's on this earth. It will not fail any individual, because the Bible says in that verse of scripture, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get that? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's everything. He can pour into us, and he can give us all that we need in this world. Not only that, but that's the way we have access. Look at the next verse. By whom also we have access by faith. How you get to God? He comes to you, convicts your heart. And then the way is access to him by himself access by faith in him, of him, for him, and he imparts it to us. Isn't that wonderful? We're talking about the process of obtaining the love of God in the heart, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In other words, just bask in it. Now that we have it, enjoy it to the fullest. Let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God control our life. Why? Because the love of God, the agape kind of love, has been placed in their heart. And we're not our own. We've been bought with a price by his blood from his faith. Now we realize and know that our account with God was open. We have access to the love of God. But I want to look at the action that takes place in their heart. So he doesn't leave anything undescribed. He tells the whole process so simply, so wonderfully. I've never seen it before. Romans chapter 5. And he does it in the order. It's interesting. 12 times he mentions it. And 2 times he said, be careful with it, because I tell you, you have not faith. So we inquired into that faith. And we investigated how we know that we have it. And then I just went down the list. And the first time he used it, the second time he used it, and it's just sequential. Isn't that wonderful? God would make it that easy for us. Well, the next time he used it was Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only is he talking about their account, their access, but now the action that took place in their heart. Romans 5, 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I don't have time to deal with that very much, but this love of God so permeates us, so increases our faith and our ability to trust him, that he said, we glory in tribulation. Who on earth in the natural man could glory in tribulations? And the answer is, you can't. But if you have the love of God dwelling in you, and it controls you, it's there, it's been poured in, we have access to it, then he says that we can glory in tribulation. Why? Because he said we know that the tribulation is put there so we can learn patience. So when tribulation comes, he tells us all about it in 1 Peter. I got to hurry. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. His process is so wonderful. He pours in that love of God by faith in him, because he was raised from the dead for justification. And then he sends tribulation. God would send tribulation my way and your way. Absolutely. He knows what we need. It works patience. And because you have learned patience, then you can have an experience. And because of the experience, you can have hope. Think about how he's already helped us after he saved us. Well, if he's done this, he's done that, and he's done that, seems like it gets bigger every time, then there is hope. It doesn't just mean I hope it don't snow or I hope it snows. It means a literal, this is the hope that we have, because it is a sure and steadfast hope. Keep reading. And hope maketh not ashamed. Here's your word. Because the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts. Shed abroad in the Greek means poured in. The love of God was, we already read about it, the access to it is poured in. It's placed in us by the Holy Spirit. He even says so in this verse. All and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. The transaction has been completed when we believe, and the Holy Ghost places it, sets it abroad in your heart, which is given to us. Marvelous. We've looked at the process of the account that God has given us through the love of God. We say, what if I lose it? Well, we're going to look next of all. He says there is protection, God-given protection against the separation, because people get divorced, they separate. Some people, I've heard of children separating from parents and vice versa. On. People go through love. I talk about separation. I remember in the scripture reading about Pharaoh. Remember when Moses was born, there's so many of the Israelites that Pharaoh got real nervous about it. So he told the midwives to take the boy babies and kill them, but they would not because they feared God. But then Pharaoh told all the people, when a child is born, cast it into the river, separate it from its mother's arms. I started thinking about that. Can you imagine a mother, you've birthed that child, and then the authorities find out about it, and you're clinging to it. And the authorities separate it from your arms and throw it in the Nile River. And I think about Herod when he heard that Jesus had been born. And he had also heard that he was going to be a ruler. He got worried about that. So he had the children, remember, executed and killed. And the women, the Jewish women, heard about that, and no doubt they would cling and try to hide their children. But then when the authorities found, they would tear them from their arms and separate them. Well, we have been given something. I know a child is important. I have 2.5, 4 grandchildren. What the importance that is, but something else is very important. The love of God. It's been shed abroad. It's been placed in heart. And the devil would try to say, something can separate that and take it away. No, no, no. We're going to see. The scripture teaches us we have protection by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, by God the Father. That once that Holy Spirit, the love of God's been placed in your heart, it cannot be separated. Look at the scripture. Let it speak to us. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. It's permanent. It's been put there by the Holy Ghost, protected. We are sealed until the day of the Lord. And then look at that last phrase. Everything is from him, by him, and because of him. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He gave us the faith to believe. He shed the blood to forgive. And the Holy Ghost was sent to do the transaction. So the account has been taken care of. Access has been made. And now we see that we're protected. The process is complete. We are in him, so we just need to learn how to bask in what he's already done. Let's just explore what we just looked at about those protections. He covers a lot of ground. He said, first of all, condition of this world, no matter what, is we live in a sin-cursed world, it'll get worse. But we are assured that the conditions of this world cannot separate us from the love of God. But what about the circumstances around us? All the circumstances, all these things happening, he lets us know in what we read that all these circumstances cannot separate us from the love of God. What about current events or current happenings? You watch the news and you see it's pretty bad out there. Any current event or old event, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not conditions, not circumstances, not current events. And then we see that the reason that is so is because we are connected to the love of God by the Holy Ghost and Christ Jesus our Lord. Permanent. We've looked at process. We've looked at protection. I want to look at the provision of God's love. Now he protects us and keeps it there, but sometimes we don't understand and realize and take advantage of all the provisions it has for us. Well, he explains that his process in the next time he uses it in 2 Corinthians. Just orderly thing. Isn't Word of God so orderly? It's just so perfect. The more I read it, the more I say, wow. All I realize and hate is I don't know more about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's look at the provision that is in God's love. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be patient. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13:14, skipping a couple of verses. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. When you say the word of God, wonderful things from God comes in the package of three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Everything is threesome. Look at carefully at that verse we read and look at the threesomes. First of all, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a package deal. When you get the love of God in your heart, you get the grace that goes with it. Marvelous grace, undeserved, but it's always there, abundant and free. Not only the grace of God, but the love of God. See, that has been placed within us, the love of God. It comes with the package of grace all the way through. And then, communion of the Holy Ghost. It's so wonderful. You have friends, you don't get to see them very often, but when you do, the communion that you think back of growing up together with those friends, or maybe that friend has done a wonderful deed for you, or maybe you have entreated them, and we have those friends. And communion, that's why it's so important. If you have a father, a mother, a grandparent, young people, younger people, communicate with them. Commune with them. It's so important. How much more important is it that we can communicate and commune with the Holy Ghost? The one that made the transaction in their heart, the one that took the love of God. And that's a package too, remember? God's love transacted through the Holy Ghost and the peace of God, Christ Jesus, in their heart. Comes a package of three. And now he says that communion is with the Holy Ghost. How fortunate, how blessed we are that as often as you pray, be thankful. No wonder the disciple says, teach us to pray. And then the prayer started, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When you pray and we ask him of all our needs, which we have ability to do and the right to do, and he tells us we can do it, he wants us to do it. But just pause a minute and hallowed be thy name. The love of God, the thankfulness, the communion that he gives us the ability to do. And not only the wonderful package of three, but look at the words that's using, the words that will make comfort. When we commune with the Holy Ghost about the things of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, the words that he says, look at, he said that these words, now, if we understand that and we commune with it, this is what he's teaching us. He says, be perfect. Well, we can't be perfect within the flesh, but greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. And he that's within us is certainly perfect, and he wants us to strive for that perfection. And you can do it if you commune with the Holy Ghost. And if you allow the love of God to operate in your heart, and the bitterness will soon disappear. And all the evil things, all the worldly things, we've already learned nothing can separate us from. So he says, be perfect, be of one mind, and when you do that, live in peace. Peace with God. Peace with one another. You can't be in peace with the world. Jesus never was. But he didn't come to the world. He came to seek and save that which was lost, and that was you and that was me. And then lastly, he says those words that will bring comfort. He says, the God of love and peace shall be with you. Remember when trials come, tribulation come, many times, most oftentimes in my life, sent by him to me to teach me patience and to teach me how to have hope. Those were for my good. And every time along the journey, the words are comfort that can go with us, and the peace shall remain with you, shall be with you, never to be separated from you. Lastly, let's look at the love of God in a different aspect. And this is going to help us, and we'll conclude the message. Let's look at the persuasive. He wants to persuade us. The persuasive insight that he wants to give us. Naturally, in the order in which he uses that word, would be 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 4. He wants to entreat us, persuasive entreating. God, many times, most times the Word of God, it doesn't come down. He's so gentle. He shows us we're lost, the process, remember. And then he shows us what he did and where we are. And the process is just learning to lean and learn to accept what he's already done. Well, he gives some persuasive entreating now in this passage of Scripture. And listen how he puts it. So gentle, so heartwarming. He longs for us to commune with him in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. We're looking at the Lord's desire that we would have his desire. Now, the love of God's in there. It's been placed there. We have access to it. Can't lose it. But now he has desires for our life. And rather than forcing his will on us, that love of God remains in us, he is teaching us that that desire that he has, he wants us to have. When we pray, for instance, we already have our desire before we come to him. We already know what we want, when we want it, how we want it. We all know that. Oh, but he has desires too. And his desires are a billion times a billion more important and more thought out than our desires. So he wants to conform us to get our little minds out of the way and look at what he wants us to do. And look how he does it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you. When he talks about the Lord touching you, the Lord changing your mind, that touch from heaven. We have confidence in the Lord touching you, or getting to your mind to give you desire that he wants, gently, persuasively entreating you. You know, just common reasoning. He knows more than we do. He knows more what we need than we do. In fact, he tells us we don't even know what we need. But he wants to entreat us persuasively how we can trust him. So he said, I have confidence in the Lord that he can touch you. He can get to your heart and he can let you see the big picture, that he's Lord, that he's in control. And he may or may not let you in all the things that he's doing and why he's doing it. But he has a way of touching you to let you trust him. Look carefully. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. He's already commanded us, put your trust in him. He's got a process that he gives us. And all that process is for our good. And he says, hey, I've got confidence the Lord can do it. He don't have much confidence in us, seems like. But if we'll let the Holy Ghost and we'll let the love of God that's operating in us control our lives, then he said, I've got confidence he can do it. All we have to have is open mind to it. But look at the next verse. Let's go back a little bit and read the preceding verse. Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So when he talks about the Lord touching us, he wants us to always, every prayer we pray, to remember the Lord's will. Lord, you've got a will. And most of the time, the prayers that we pray, after he touches us, he wants to conform us to desire his will for our life, because ours could be faulty. Ours is selfish. Ours usually is for our own thinking, you know, prosper us in whatever way. But he says he'll always, if we'll just do what he commands us to do, put our faith in him and trust him, he said, I've got confidence the Lord will change you and let that love of God control you so you can live in joy and peace. Doesn't have a lot of confidence in us, does he? But he said, the Lord can handle it. Now, Paul's doing the writing, the Holy Ghost is doing the speaking, of course, and the word touching you, it means his hand upon us, over us. Remember, the love of God is inside us. He bought us, he paid for us, we belong to him. And now he said, I have a confidence in touching you that his hand, his mighty voice is over you, controlling you. Every aspect, as he is in this world, the Bible says, so are we. Not only the Lord's desire for us to have his desires, but look at the Lord's determination. If he determines something, it's going to happen. His determination for our lives, 1 Thessalonians 3:3. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. It didn't say the Lord is faithful and he may or may not establish you and make. Oh, yes, he is very confident in the fact that he that began a good work in you shall perform it until the day of the Lord. We belong to him. And the Bible says he will establish us and he will keep us from evil. So why are we worried about? If we were to take the survey, and nobody's reading the survey but you, and you were to be real honest, every one of us, we would, with his help, of course, count how many seconds, how many minutes, perhaps hours a day that we think and worry about the future. But he says, I've got confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Since his hand's over you, controlling you, establishing you, he will do it. And he will keep you from evil. So the best thing for us to do is just bask in the love of God. Let the peace of God control you. Lastly, the Lord's direction for our hearts. I have a direction I want to go as a natural man, and you have a direction that you want to go. The problem is, and that is the fact that our direction is many times wrong. Well, let's look at the Lord's direction. And if he has a direction, he's already said that God confidence that his hand over you, controlling you, will perform it. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. Gets us back to the point we've covered, the fourth time we've covered this morning, this phrase, the love of God. Look how he inserts it in their heart. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Now, it's already there. The peace of God is there. But sometimes our natural man needs some direction. The love of God's not going anywhere. It's in there. But sometimes we let the natural or the physical push it aside. But he says, and the Lord direct you, your thoughts, your physical man, into, consumed by, the love of God. The love of God, remember, that he placed in their heart, their agape kind, that I love you so much, I want the best for you. And he knows the best, I don't. And the Lord's going to take care of that. He's going to control you and direct you. And into the patient waiting for Christ. Oh, we have to look at that word too. We've always said, we all want the love of God controlling us. But most of us don't have patience to wait on it. Not only, okay, we've come to grips with the fact, let's say that now we understand by the word of God that he put it there, he controls it, the process, we understand all that. And now it's in there, it's not going anywhere, and he wants to let it control us. So come on, let it control us. Get with it. Huh. Oh, but his way is not our way, his timing is not our timing. Last phrase. Not only he wants to direct our hearts into the love of God, knowing that that's the communion with the Holy Ghost, but he also says into the patience, waiting for Christ. Waiting for his return, yes, but waiting for him to do for us that which we need, we think we need done. I want the healing today. I want the ability to go out and get a job today. You know I need the job. The job's out there. You know where it is. Well, go ahead and give it to me. Oh, but patiently waiting so we'll know that he's the one doing it, not ourselves. And many of us say, hopefully, every day, that even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. Remember, that's what John Revelator closed out the book with. The Lord's coming, and the way the world is shaping up and the ungodly things happening, and we don't want to go through the awful evil times. We've already learned that he's in control of that. But he wants us to have patience. He is a God of patience. Let's sum it up real quickly. The process now, we understand the process, how he goes through putting the love of God in our heart. We understand how he protects us, how he gives us the ability to know that we've got it permanently, not going anywhere. And then the last one, probably most important thing, the persuasive. He wants to persuade us without cramming it down your throat. He wants to persuade us to just put our trust in him. He is in control of my life. The love of God, so important. Let us steady meditate upon it. And thank you, Brother Randy, and everybody else that chose the songs this morning. I don't think it was you choosing them. I think the Lord was directing their hearts to the songs that we sang this morning about the love of God. And we just thank him for that love. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed. Altar's open. God is so patient with us, so long-suffering. And that love of God is, imagine how he gave his son, his only begotten son, to suffer and to bleed and die. That's how much he loved us. Well, if he loves us enough to give him, surely we know that he's able to take care of us from all harm and danger. Would you please come to piano, organ, Miss Brendan and Sister Youngblood? Your heads are bowed. Lord Jesus, thank you for directing us through your word, understanding more and more about the love of God. Now that we understand a little bit more and got a whole lot more to learn, what we have learned already, let us just bask in it, worship, adore you, and be thankful that you had the ability to place this love, the love of God, in their heart. Once it's there, it can take care of everything that we need. And help us, Father, as you told us, to let our hearts be directed toward that love, into that love, into the depth of that love, into the secrets, so to speak, because we don't understand it completely. But you want us to understand it. And if we understand into the love of God, we'll understand into the patiently waiting for your action. Help us, Father, to be more like you in this unfriendly world. You left us here. You left us to do a job for you. We're incapable of doing it without your love, without your guidance. But we do have it. The love of God is powerful. And as we learn more and more about the love of God in future messages, help us to dwell on it, to bask in it, to enjoy it. And I pray for those that haven't come to grips with the fact that they have to get themselves out of the picture, so to speak. Stop trying to do their own planning, their own inquiring, their own bidding. It's never worked, it never will. It just gets us farther removed from letting it control us. It's not going anywhere, but it's another thing to let it be entreated in your heart. You do that persuasively, and help us be persuaded that you are in control. We understand and know that you want to guide and direct us in every facet of our life. The things we buy, the places we go, everything is of you and from you. Help us just rejoice in it and be glad. In the lovely name of Jesus, with thanksgiving, we're humbly seeking your help in these troubling days. In Jesus' name, amen.